Well, welcome to Loving Our Communities to Christ, another one of our city-reaching interviews. This is Phil Migliorati with the Mission America Coalition Cities and Communities Ministry, and my partner Dennis Fuquay is here punching some buttons. He's with International Renewal Ministries and the Prayer Summit Movement, and we get the privilege of just about every month sitting down together, even though we're thousands of miles apart, and talking with some people who have some very insightful things to say, and today's no different. Although there is a difference today, we're pleased to welcome as a guest interviewer someone familiar to many in the city-reaching gospel movement spheres, Charles Doherty from Cedar Rapids. Good morning, Charles. Thank you for being with us today.
It's great to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Charles, let's you and I talk just for a second before you introduce our speaker. Set up for us how this came to be. I think Ken came to Cedar Rapids, some things happened, you and I talked a little bit. So just set that up, and then we'll get you and Ken talking here.
Oh, excellent. I'd love to. We had one of our pastors in the coalition said, Charles, we need to bring this Ken Roberts to town. I said, who's Ken Roberts? So he began to tell me that he was in his denominational meetings, there was a breakout session he went to, and he sat there, and he said, this man should be speaking in the plenary session. This man needs to be heard across our nation, and he came to me and said, we need to bring him here, because what we were talking about here is one of our luncheons each year, one of our monthly luncheons, we have set aside for the spiritual, mental, soul health of our leaders. And Lynn said, we need to bring Ken here for that. And so I listened some more. We made a call to Ken. And I remember where I was. We were driving to the Capitol for one of the Franklin Graham meetings, the Capitol meetings. And someone else was driving, and I was able to talk to Ken. We talked for some time. And man, Ken is familiar with Mission America. He's familiar with City Reaching. He knows the Lausanne Covenant. I'm talking about what we're looking for, and he tells me, what's on his heart, and boy, it was just a done deal. Am I saying it right, Ken?
Yeah, Charles, thanks. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, so I'm a little hoarse today, but you all hear me. So he came, and we had 55 leaders come at 10 a.m. for a workshop and stay for the luncheon. We had more than twice that many at our luncheon, and afterwards I got calls saying, we need to bring this man back. We need to bring him back. So we have Ken scheduled. None of you can have him this October. We've got him scheduled to come back here and spend more time with us. So I just, a little bit about Ken. On the back of his first book called Unexpected, Navigating Life's Unforeseen Turns, this paragraph, on a routine trip to a women's Bible study, Ken's wife of 25 years was killed in a car accident. Hmm. And it goes on. Using his own story as well as his 30-plus years of experience in pastoring hundreds of others during adversity and tragedy, this book was born, and then as a result, after that, Ken wrote a book that we're going to talk about today called Staying Power, 5 Core Ideas to Sustainability in Christian Leadership, and one of the bylines is, why are so many Christian leaders calling it quits? Well, I don't know about you folks, but here, we're enjoying some longevity because we're taking care of each other, but Ken has added to that by coming with his message. We're in this for the long haul. God's building momentum, and we don't want to see people just tripped up and burned out and quitting. And so this is a great message. We're so glad Ken's on to talk to us about it today. How's that, Phil?
That's great. You're going to dive in a second. Just a comment, if you can mute yourself, please do, and when the roundtable time comes, unmute, and we'll just be talking. This topic is I think, vitally important. even though I don't think we've talked about it a lot. Charles, you and I have walked together, even though down in Chicago, you're in Cedar Rapids, but we've connected in a number of different ways, which I'm glad, and seeing Serve the City grow and the city reaching effort. And yet we've both seen locally and nationally a number of, just gifted leaders kind of disappear. And the sustainability factor is maybe much more important than we've given thought to. So, Charles, dive in. Talk to Ken. We'll listen, and let's see what we can learn from him and the Lord. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey. Well, thanks, Charles. Good to thanks for the introduction. It's good to reconnect with you. You're becoming one of my favorite people, and I really do mean that. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Okay. Well, I had three questions I was going to ask you, but I've added a fourth.
Uh-oh.
Because we visited, you and I did, after you left, and you talk about a confirmation God gave you. So that's the fourth thing we're going to talk about. But firstly, everybody on this call relates to leaders, to executive directors, to ministry leaders, to business leaders, pastors. And so just, you know, tell us, because you do travel around and you do talk, what is your assessment of the health of leaders in God's church today?
Yeah, great question. You know, of course, I don't want to speak on every leader's behalf, but my observation is, and a lot of this has to do with my own life, my own journey. I grew up in the church world. My father was a pastor, and I've been pastoring for 35 years, and I've always been involved, like you said, like city-reaching things, been involved with other colleagues, crossed over denominational lines, you know, with just in ministry and brotherhood and et cetera. So I've kind of always been involved with it. And I would say as I travel around and even as I've written the book and as I've made preparation for the book and did some study as well, that this is my personal opinion, that, you know, I think leaders may be as challenged and may be as discouraged today as probably any time that I've ever seen it in my 35 years of ministry. And so, I mean, all the stats show that, other books that have been written on it, other surveys that have been done, you know, regarding the amount of leaders who are discouraged, the amount of pastors' wives or spouses who say that, you know, ministry has been a detrimental thing to their life or to their family, the amount of leaders who start who do not finish their journey, you know, in ministry. The amount of people who come out of Bible college or seminary, 50% of them are no longer in ministry, you know, in 5 years. So I think if you look at all the stats show that leaders say that they have less of a healthy self-image after being in ministry than before they went into ministry. And so, you know, and many of us have read these stats. They've been circulating for quite some time now, you know, through different articles and books. But I think the stats show it. And then for me, you know, the stories with in my own life with my colleagues, you know, show it. I mean, I have many, many conversations with leaders behind closed doors, you know, that when we're honest with one another, you know, we are communicating how in our own life we're maybe struggling or hurting or disappointed or dealing with things in our own heart. So I think the stats show it. And I think really many of our stories show it. And then as I travel around the country, I actually see it in conversation and see it in leaders' faces as well. So I think the increase of burnout, dropout, you know, fallout rate is as high as it's ever been, and it seems to be increasing every year. So I do think, as I say in my book, I do think we have a problem. I think it's almost at a crisis. That may be an overstatement, but I'm not sure that it is, you know, really in leadership in the church in the West today.
You know, I think it is a crisis. I'll just say it. I think where we're headed, though, is time for us to really rely on God in new, fresh ways.
Right.
Dr. Richard Swenson was here in Cedar Rapids last year before Ken came. And he wrote the book Margins, and he was talking about the acceleration of things and where we're going. And he said the church is not ready. And Kinnaman has come out in the Barner Group with what he's talking about is going to happen in the next 2 to 4 years. And so we've got to really get going on this. So we we had a word given to us about the next 2 to 4 year thing. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
So what do you think? You stated where people are at. What do you think are the causes of how did we get where we are right now? You know, what are the sources, the causes?
Yeah, well, I think there are external, and then of course there are internal. So let me kind of go down those two roads a little bit. Obviously, and you know, we're all aware of this. This is nothing new, but you know, our culture in general has changed so dramatically, and continues to change, you know, dramatically over the last 10, 15, 20 years. So we're ministering in a whole different culture, in a whole different context. A postmodern, a post-Christian, all the stats again show that less than 40% now say they go to church in the U.S. And some stats say that if you counted everybody in a Christian church in the U.S. on Sunday morning, you'd only have about 17% of the U.S. population that's actually sitting in a chair, sitting in a pew. And so that shows you again that so we're dealing with a different cultural dynamic that's all around us, and of course the decline in our culture, the resistance at times to the Christian truth and to the Christian message. So I think the world that we're ministering in has changed dramatically. You know, and I'm with you. This isn't a negative message. It's just a message of reality. That we're being prepared for something. There's always God's always in the equation. You know, there's always the renewal that He's doing. He's always bringing us back to, the ways that we're to live and the ways that we're to do the Christian life. And so it's not a negative, but I think just externally. So I think that's a challenge. I think it's more and more difficult to get people in church, responding to the message, being consistent, and so that in itself, I think, is a major change. So that would be one of the externals. So we're ministering in a different environment that's changing, and it really is changing rapidly, and we're all aware of that. But I would say then the second thing of why I think it's a challenge, for leaders is just some of the internal things, and that's more what my book is about. You know, it's more the internal things. That we face, and I have a chapter in there that says, why are we so sick? And it's just trying to say, what are the issues that make our hearts weak, that deal with us as leaders? And I think I lay out four there, and these are from my own observation, and again with my conversation with colleagues over the years. One would be expectations. You know, there's a tremendous amount of expectations on pastors and leaders. We need to do this, don't do this. We need to grow this. This isn't doing well. We need to respond to this situation. So expectations, I think, are something that we all feel, and they're constantly there. The second thing that goes with, I think, expectations that I say in the book is criticism. I just heard a story recently, about someone who changed the wafer in their communion elements, and they were criticized for that change. And I just thought, how ironic that is celebrating the greatest sacrifice that's ever been given for us, Jesus Christ, and yet being critical of the wafer that we don't want. So I think criticism just goes with it. Expectation and criticism, that does something to our heart and really then to our soul. The third thing I said is disappointment in dealing with people. Most people, I don't think are ill. They're not ill-willed. They're not mean-spirited. They're not trying to be difficult. But I think, just at times, people they make decisions based upon their own life and what they're going to do. And sometimes those decisions are disappointing, to a pastor and a Christian leader. So I think the disappointments are there. And then the fourth one that I put in the book, and I just kind of went to the raw place, you might say, in this, is at times disappointments with God. And I love God more than ever and trust God more than ever, so that's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, all of us have had seasons or times in our life where we've needed or expected God to come through in a certain way that possibly, that hasn't happened. And I tell a story in the book about a little girl who was dying, and I had seen many people die and was just, asking God to heal her and knowing that He could, but was concerned what would it continue to do to my heart if He didn't. you know, and she did pass. And so those disappointments, they just build up. So I think with leaders, we're dealing with things externally, in the change in our world and the change in the church world as well. And then we also have these things in our own internal life that we have to deal with. So those are some of the things that I've thrown out. In the discussion a little bit later, it'd be great to open that question up some more and see what some of the other leaders think.
Sure. Well, I've got a few more here, and then we kind of go for the free-for-all.
Okay.
What do you see as some of the remedies for these things then?
Yeah. Well, again, that's kind of where my, you know, where the book goes, the five core ideas to sustainability and Christian leadership. I think there are a lot of practices, you know, we can do and should do, and those are listed in there, you know, Sabbath and devotion and meditation and having a support system and keeping our families a high priority and time management. And all those are important. We've heard about those quite a bit. But as I've made assessment, and again, a lot of this assessment is through my own life and my own journey of 35 years, I've narrowed it down, to five. And these aren't exhaustive by any means, but I think they are core issues that we kind of have to take a look at if we're going to really have a sustainable and vital life in Christian leadership. And the first one that I talk about is self-awareness. And when I talk about self-awareness, I'm really asking the question, you know, what's happening in us? And I think that's, to me, that's one of the most important things, because really authenticity of a Christian faith is from the inside out. You know, Jesus obviously taught that over and over. It's the, you know, it's the good fruit. You know, it's the seed that's in us that will bear good fruit. We bring out the good treasure stored up in us. He was concerned about murder, an external act, but he was more concerned about, you know, was there hatred in our heart? So you can go throughout the word, you know, and it's an inside out type thing. And so one of the things I've said, one of the core issues is, as leaders, are we as self-aware as we need to be? Because we're pushed, there's a lot to do, there's a lot to keep up with, there's a lot of expectations from the external. You know, we need to do this and do this and grow this and look this way. And sometimes we don't take the time, I think, to go a little bit deeper in our own, I call it below the waterline, to ask, what's happening in me? What fractures are taking place? Where am I becoming weary? Why am I reacting out of anger toward, you know, that situation, that person? You know, where has unbelief gotten in an area of my life? Because, you know, most times, and we're all aware of leaders that are, you know, who fall and fail, and sometimes it becomes very public. But as we all know, you know, those things didn't happen overnight. Those were little seeds or fractures that really have happened over a long concession of time that then end up bearing a fruit that becomes visible. So my first appeal in the core is for leaders to be more self-aware. Again, I've been a lot of pastors' meetings and a lot of city reaching meetings, and sometimes when you have the conversation regarding how a person's doing, how a colleague's doing, we immediately go to the response of, you know, what we're teaching and how our church is doing and what our latest series is, instead of really being able to go and have that, no, how are you doing? What's happening in you? So for me, self-awareness is the first one, and it kind of starts everything else. The second one is, and I'll go through these real fast, the second one is identity. And the question that goes with it, that is, who or what's defining you? And again, that could be a really tricky thing in the church world, because we become known as Pastor Ken, or, you know, Brother Charles, or, you know, a leader in a certain movement, or become known by sometimes identified by externals. And I think that can really kind of mess us up. Do we really know who we are in the totality of the person, you know, that we are? And I know when some of my colleagues that have had failures, in my conversations with them, you know, afterwards, if you pull on the thread, it often will lead you that they really weren't secure in who they were. They were building and living out of a false identity, that when the pressure came on their life, you know, that false identity, those foundations, you know, really kind of collapsed in their life. So I think the whole thing about just who we are in Christ, who we are in the totality of our life, you know, that's the second one. The third thing I say is the core, then, for me, has been attitude. And I asked that question regarding, is life and leadership twisting us, or is it transforming us more and more to the image of His Son? And really what I mean by that, you know, is we all deal with conflict and difficulty, and it's, you know, it's just part of life. You know, the challenge I went with my late wife being killed in a car accident, you know, 12 years ago, I knew that that situation in my life would shape me. It wasn't a matter if it would shape me. It was only a matter of how it would shape me. And the question was, would I allow that to shape me more and more to the image of His Son? So I encourage leaders that we're going to face challenges and difficulties, you know, in leadership and in life. And the question is, are we embracing those where we will allow God to use them as a sculpting tool in our life to shape us more and more to the image of His Son? It's sad for me to say, and this is not an accusatory, you know, statement, but I just kind of run into too many leaders who are mean-spirited. You would say they're almost twisted. They're almost twisted on the inside. And life and leadership has twisted them more than them embracing it for them to become, you know, more Christ-like, more gentle, more humble, more compassionate. So that's the third one. Let me give you the two other ones. We'll go and we'll finish up here. But the two other ones is the area of revisiting our call. I think the call in our life becomes an anchor when we go through difficult times. I can look back clearly when at the age of 17, when I know that God called me, you know, into the church to serve in that way. And so I think just a return and a revisiting at times to our call. And then the fifth one, which we'll probably talk some about, is really rethinking the church. You know, it's hard to think about the health of a leader with also thinking about the health of the church, or the other way around. And I think sometimes the system in which we serve in the church world can do damage to us as a leader. So I think we have to really think about at times the clarity of really what the church is. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? How can we, you know, lead people back to really being disciples and making disciples? And I know for me that's been a real turning point in my own life to rethink about what is it that I'm serving and how am I trying to do that in the church world. So that's kind of a long answer, but those have been the five that for my own life that I think are major foundations that a leader needs to work on and needs to build on for them to have sustainability in this journey.
Okay, now, I said I had one more question, but I've got two now.
Uh-oh.
So, because I'm looking here, and we've got four more minutes here on our part, I think about that. So my first one is this. You're talking about the first two points of the remedy.
Yep.
I think, if I remember right, it was D.L. Moody who would ask people, how is your soul?
Mm.
I don't know if anyone knows that, but that was a question that he would ask people. And it's interesting, when I started asking people that, the responses I would get. So,
Is
that kind of what you're looking at there? How is your soul?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, what's happening in your inner world? You know, how is your soul? Are you taking care of your soul? Because, again, we usually put a lot of emphasis on the external. And even a lot of leadership material the last 20 years, which I've obviously received from and appreciate a lot. But a lot of it has to do with external and techniques, how to lead and how to increase our skills, which we need skillful leaders. But there hasn't been quite as much literature regarding, you know, the inside out, you know, really how is our soul, how are we caring for our soul. And I say, again, in the book that I think the two deterrents that I've experienced in, the whole thing about self-awareness is, one, I wasn't trained in it. I was trained in the 70s in a Bible college and a seminary, and I had a lot of training on, how to exegete the Bible and how to put a message together and how to do a funeral and how to chair a board meeting, all those type of things. But at the time, I was never really taught how to care for my soul. So for me, it was a lack of training. And then the second thing I say, it's a deterrent. It's also because of a life of busyness. And I say this, you can't go deep and fast at the same time. And yet most of our world wants us to run really fast all the time. And I think to be, to go below the waterline, to see how we're doing, to make sure that we're caring for our own soul, sometimes you just have to slow down a little bit. And so a lack of training and a life of busyness is oftentimes a deterrent to understanding or going into good self-awareness, self-care.
Okay, now, before I get to that last question,
okay.
Just a comment then. I want to know if you're hearing stuff like this around as you travel, in that God's been speaking to me, you know, 2 hours a day in the Word, not for to give anybody, but just for you. And I recall as he was deepening for me personally in my prayer life, I was reading a book, and it said Martin Luther said when he has a particularly busy day, he gets up early and spends more time in prayer. And I remember at that point in my life, about 20 years ago, I threw that book across the room. I was so angry. Because I'm this go-do-it guy, you know. So are you hearing people saying, I'm hearing from God, I got to spend more time?
Yeah, totally. I think that, you know, a lot of leaders are just, you know, they're coming to awareness that they don't want to do the external while their soul, you know, shrinks up. And there's been a lot of fairly visible leaders that have been writing on this and communicating this, so I think it is getting people's attention. I can just say for me, and again, this isn't a self-promotion thing, but in some of the places I've been going to speak and doing the workshop, they're telling me that it's one of the largest responses to workshops they've ever had. And I say that because I'm not a name, and it's not because of me. It's just because of the topic. You know, it registers with leaders that, yes, I know what I'm dealing with in my own heart. I know I've got to remain fresh in my journey. I know I've got to lay the right foundation so I can continue to be, you know, vital and viable in this leadership journey. So I think there is a real increase of interest and response. There's been a return in the church as well over the last, you know, the Protestant expression of the church, over the last 10 or 12 years to a lot of the historic classic spiritual disciplines. And a lot of leaders, I think, are entering into those much more: silence, solitude, you know, Sabbath. And those are good things, and those are good signs. So yes, I do think that there's an increase there.
I'm going to jump in. That's my last question.
Okay.
Because this is so on your heart, and God's been preparing you. You came and you were here with us, and then we spoke afterwards. And you've been pastoring in a local congregation for all this time, but God spoke to you in what way?
Yeah, I've only pastored two churches. I pastored a church in Cleveland, Ohio for 25 years, and then here in the Minneapolis area, I've been at the same church for 8 years. But just this last year, and I'm really in the process of this transition right now, that I'm moving more and more out of the pastoral, general pastoral ministry, and moving more and more in toward Christian Leaders Health Initiative, you know, on this conversation. I'm 59 years of age, and really this is the area that I want to give the next, you know, 10, 12, 15 years of my life, is to, you know, walk with other leaders and other colleagues, and just, you know, the whole thing about, you know, finishing well. And for me, this is in two areas. It's to help younger leaders get the right foundations now, you know, so maybe they can miss some of these sidesteps and, you know, get some of these ditch things or whatever. And it's also then to help leaders who are in their late 50s, because when you get in your late 50s, what I found is the temptation is just to keep going and pick up your, you know, try to make it to retirement and pick up your paycheck. But there needs to be a revitalization oftentimes at the late 50s to ask ourselves, how can I make sure that I finish well? And so really that's kind of what the Lord's led me into, and it's, I think, going to be an exciting, new and exciting journey. So thanks for asking.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons I recommended the Dennis and Phil for you on this call. So, guys, turning it back to you.
Well, thank you, Charles. Thank you, Ken. This is Dennis Fuque, and I just appreciate, Ken, your willingness to live a life in such a manner that you have a story to tell. So well done. I appreciate
that. Thanks, Dennis.
Let's do a bit of a discussion here based on some of the things that we've heard, and I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to be the first one to answer it, and then Charles has already answered this question, and Phil, I'm going to ask you to answer the question as well, and then we'll invite others to do it as well. So here's my question. I want to come back to this first statement, really, that Charles, that you made of that you and the City Reaching movement there in Cedar Rapids, you have felt the real necessity of helping people care for their souls. And so my question for those of us who've listened is this, how is that getting worked out in your setting? In your world, how is that getting worked out? Charles, as I mentioned, has already said that, did you say once a year you have a time to focus specifically on this topic, Charles? What was that?
Every February. We're calling it Heart Health Month.
Good, good. Heart Health Month for pastors.
Yeah, but this year we're getting it twice. We got it in February, and we're bringing Ken back in October, so.
It's not going to work in October. It only can happen in February. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well,
okay. So my answer to this question is this: I live the ministry that I direct is the International Renewal Ministry, Pastors Prayer Summits and such, and I get to see this kind of thing happen on a regular basis coming out of Pastors Prayer Summits, and specifically one of the things that happens not simply at a summit but after a summit, there is a specific commitment many times for pastors to get together in small groups and not talk about ministry stuff, but really talk about here's what's going on with me and who I am and my life at this point. There's sort of concentric circles that we talk about. Your own personal walk with Jesus, the next concentric circle out would be your family relationship, health with your wife, health with your children, health with your board, health with your congregation, et cetera. And we encourage pastors to process that. And that has been something that I believe that people have told me has ended up them continuing on in ministry, that staying power kind of an idea. So that's something Charles, you have said, you know, once a month or once a year or twice a year, you focus on this heart health or soul health. I've seen the value of small group of pastors, two or three, six or eight, where they're together on a weekly, biweekly basis, where they're walking long term together. Phil, how would you answer that question? In your world, how have you seen heart health, soul health happen?
Wow, what an excellent question, Dennis. And the answer that comes to my mind may seem way out in left field, but here we go. I'm finding that the very thing, this is very personal, the very thing right now that is calling me to scream out inside by saying, quit, get away, run, hide, I'm in a situation, I won't go into the details, but my parents are 93 and 94. Mute your phone, please, there's some noise back there. Not because I'm speaking, but just because it's noisy. 93, 94, had to move into memory care. Every step along the way seems to be getting more troublesome. It's consuming. Got to sell their house. Got to get veterans benefits. It's a full and a half time job for both my wife and I. We're doing their accounting, doing her mother's accounting. I'm not complaining. I'm just giving a scenario.
Right.
And all of me is wanting to say, someone else do my job. I'll come back in 6 months to see what's left. And yet, when I'm the spirit inside me, more the Holy Spirit than my spirit, but the spirit inside me is saying, to use some of Ken's terminology, don't give up. Sustaining power is important. It's the very thing that is making me want to run and hide and quit that is actually bringing me to a renewed dependency. I'm not saying 100% of the time, but a renewed dependency, a renewed sense of God's presence, the very things that, and I'll be brief here, the very things that I find myself begging God for, his presence, his provision, his protection, he has me saying, don't beg, just tell me that I've already done that. It'll build your faith. So I begin to say to him, you have been present, so of course you will be. You have provided. Why would you stop? You have protected. And the next thing that comes, even though I don't want it, I know you're going to be protecting us. So not trying to preach a sermon here as much as just this very personal thing we're going through. We're not out of it yet. We may have years to go in it. So the very thing that I want to run from is a potential for a strengthening power and sustaining power. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, totally. That's great insight. Great insight, Phil. That's excellent.
Very good. Yeah, great. There are some other folks on the call besides those of us who've already spoken. Let me just, and I don't know who is on the call, but let me just throw this question out to you. how in your world, in your ministry, in your own personal life, how is soul care being championed? How is it getting played out in your world, your ministry? Just identify yourself, please, and the city you're from, and then share with us. Actually, I had in mind you'd actually speak out loud here. So,
this is Barney Field in El Paso, Texas.
Hi, Barney.
Charles, it's good to hear your voice again, buddy. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
A couple things. One, my wife and I, for almost 20 years, get up early each morning, and we invest 5 minutes a day to read the entire New Testament through in 1 year. So each year we read the entire New Testament. So it's just 5 minutes a day, but it works. We also spend about 5 or 10 minutes reading the Old Testament at the same time. And then after that, we pray together and various things and talk. And so we might spend, who knows, half hour to an hour every morning. We get up early and do that every morning. So that's been very helpful to me. Plus, I'm 75 years old, but I feel like I'm about 18. So I feel like it's very important to exercise, not only spiritually, but also and emotionally, but also physically.
Right.
So, I ran my mile today and swam my 20 laps and lifted weights and stuff like that, and it's kind of tricking my body into thinking it's young. So that's been very helpful. One other thing that's been very helpful to me, and that is Merlin Crothers' book, Prison to Praise, that old one that's sold millions of them. But basically he says to praise God in all things, thank God in all things. And I do that with crisis and things where I just, the last thing I want to do is thank God for that. But I catch myself and then I say, thank you, Jesus. I thank you that this has happened. I praise you for it. And I'm going to look for the blessing to come out of this. I'm going to look for the lesson I'm going to learn out of this. I'm going to look for the good that comes out of this. It has been miraculous how that has worked in my life.
Yeah, good.
Barney, thank you. I'm not going to have you share next time. You're way too convicting for me. Run a mile, swim 20 laps, read the Bible. Oh, man, I tell you what. But listen, very, 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 very basic stuff that just matters, that works when we do it. So well done. Good.
Yep.
Someone else on the call, share with us, how is soul care happening in your world, whether through you or in you? Go ahead, please. Let's just sing one more verse of Just As I Am here. And, okay,
my name is Jerry, and I'm in Southern California. I find that using the computer with emails from people that are strong, solid, conservative Christians helps a lot. Reading books that are uplifting, whether I totally agree with everything that the writer has to say. For instance, I'm reading one now that's called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. Mm-hmm. And we're studying that at our church as well as we're going through the book of Revelation in the preaching, then studying the book on Thursday night. All these things are so helpful to kind of get your head on straight and get your heart tender and looking for opportunities to serve personally, not as far as the church. I'm not a preacher. I'm a prayer pastor. Hmm. And so that's probably not a unique opportunity to be in a position like that. But I find it so easy for myself to look for ways to be kind to people and to get into their heart, kind of, as much as we can. To be open to being someone that can share an encouragement, a good word, all that kind of stuff.
Good. And Jerry, you have shared a good word. Thank you. Just the value of interacting with another person's life through reading what they have written. Ken, I'm going to ask you to sort of wrap it up here in just a minute, but by responding to these statements that you've heard us make, and then tell us how can we get your book? It's called Staying Power, author
yes.
Ken Roberts, and how can they get it? What's the best way, Ken?
Okay, yeah, the best way is actually through my website. My website is Ken L. Roberts, roberts.com.
KenLRoberts.com. Okay.
That's correct. Yeah, and they can get it right there, as well as the other book that Charles mentioned earlier, Unexpected, which is about the journey of kind of navigating through unexpected turns in all of our life. So thanks for asking. And the book's helped a lot of people. It's an easy read, and so if they're interested in that, they can get it right there.
Good. And then anything that you'd like to say to us in just wrapping this call up here?
No, I mean, I appreciate, what your ministries are doing. And I do think that the church, we are at a place of, that's very critical, but I believe that we're on the beginning of a major reformation that God's doing. But, you know, he's first going to do that primarily through his leaders. And so I think that, pastors and Christian leaders are looking to God in a new way, in a fresh way, and we honestly do want to be more and more like Christ and find the ways to do that. And so I'm just glad that I'm on journey with others, and for me, I want to finish well, and I want to help others to do the same. So thanks for the opportunity to be on this conference call.
Thank you, Ken. It was great.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much, and let me just come back and recap a couple things here. Number one is that the reason that we did this topic on this Loving Our Communities to Christ call is because one of the things that we've observed is that longevity of the city reacher in a city is a major asset to impacting that city. And obviously one of the needs, if we're going to be long in a city, is to maintain our own personal health. So not only should we focus on us maintaining our health, but as we impact cities, one of the key things we can do is help spiritual leaders be healthy personally so that they can that life of Christ has a clean vessel to flow through to impact others. So, Charles, thank you so much for initiating this topic, and Ken, thanks for being on the call. Phil, good having you with us as well. Bless you today. And we'll wrap this call up with a prayer. Father, we want to ask in Jesus' name that you take these words that have been shared here and inject your life and your power into them so that more people are able to be impacted by Jesus Christ because we as leaders have lived our lives in a healthy manner, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Thank you and bless you all.
Amen. Thanks,
Thank
everybody.
You. Thanks,
we'll
Charles.
Put the call online. You can use the link anyone you'd like, any of you, Ken, as well as you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, and have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.